Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
In our society, in our world, there's so many people who claim to have visions and dreams, and God spoke and God acted and God moved. How do you determine the real God from those gods and goddesses that are not real? That was the problem in the 8th century BC, and that's our problem today. You see, God is able to do amazing things to those who are willing to move from being instruments to becoming servants, to being just Elijah the Tishbite, to being Elijah, a man of God or a woman of God.
The truth is, God wants to put you in the game. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message sitting on the bench and shares how God calls you to a life of active participation in His plans where you help accomplish His purposes. You won't want to miss it, so stay with us on The Winning Walk. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource offered this month you'll want to know about. It's Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering and difficulties happened before the coronavirus, definitely during, and will continue to happen after this pandemic. But suffering doesn't have to mean defeat. The Old Testament hero Job was an expert on suffering, losing his health, his wealth, and even his loved ones. And in this series, Dr. Young shares God's answers to Job's questions about dealing with tough times and gives you valuable insights to overcoming your own suffering today. We'll send you Overcoming Tough Times as thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Sitting on the Bench.
Oh, about in the late 1980s, 1990s, the end of the last century, most of the scholars and erudite people and philosophers in the Western world predicted that by the first decade of the 21st century, that religion would be an anachronism in America. Anachronism means an era in respect to time. In other words, religion would be something that we used to do, that all faith virtually would go out of existence. There would be decline in attendance in churches, synagogues, and the whole business about understanding the transcendent would be out of date and out of sequence, because the scientists were discovering so much about creation, and they were on the verge of creating life itself, and there were so many breakthroughs about the origin of this universe and how everything operated that, oh, certainly by the early part of the 21st century, there would be few, if any, expressions of faith. But yet today we see major faiths, little faiths, minor faiths, silly faith, ridiculous faith, all kinds of faith groups and religious groups are literally exploding in America. Mr. Gallup, in his latest poll, revealed that 94% of people who live in America believe in some kind of God. On any given Sunday, there are more people gathered in places of worship than there are in all the sporting events in America put together. So faith and religion and worship and seeking to know and understand and follow God is at an all-time high in our culture. And therefore, we find a lot of people who come up to me, and they may come up to you and say the silliest thing that they can possibly say. All religions are basically the same. We're climbing many different roads, wanting to go to heaven. It doesn't matter which trail you take, as long as you're sincere. Anybody who says that and believes that has exposed themselves to one simple fact. They have never seriously looked at any faith or any religion. They've never had that experience. Because you take the major questions of life, the big questions of life. Who am I? Question of identity. Where did I come from? A question of origin. Why am I here? A question of purpose. Where am I going? A question of destiny. Those are the big four. And you can take the cults, the religions, the denominations, and you can put them all down and ask those big four questions, and you get radically different answers. All religions are not the same. All denominations are not the same. Or like the country preacher back in Mississippi said, all abominations are not the same. Because the basic understanding of authority and ultimate meaning and the big question of epistemology, you say, well, what is that? It means, how do you know that you know? That's epistemology. How do you know that you know? They answer these questions totally different. And therefore, we need today, with all the plethora of religious activity and faith and cults and everything we read and hear and see around us and on television, we need people who will stand up and be spiritual guides. Men and women will say, that is true, that is false. And we need somebody who will shout and say, look, this is the real God, and this is how you can tell the difference between that which is valid in worship and that which is invalid in worship. Spiritual guides. The 8th century was much like today. You see, in Israel for a long, long time, there was the worship of the one and true God, the God of Israel. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that was the true God. And though there was idolatry and though there was many other expressions, for the nation as a whole was a theocracy, and they worshiped the living God, Jehovah God, until the 8th century B.C. Ahab, Jezebel became king and queen of Israel, and then very intentionally, they took pagan worship into Israel and sought to make Israel into a pluralistic nation for all kinds of gods and goddesses. And they brought in 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of Ashtaroth, the prophets of sensuality and sexuality, and the prophets of groves and Ashtaroth, and the prophets of Baal. And Baal was the god of the harvest, the god of the seasons, the god of fire. And so everywhere you went in Israel, there was an altar in the valley. There was a shelter, a monument on top of the mountain. There was all kind of worship going on everywhere. And the only God that was forbidden was the God of Israel. was Jehovah. In fact, those who worshiped Jehovah, the prophets and those who followed him, who remained as a remnant, they were either killed or in hiding, because we know that about 6,000 or 7,000 of them were in caves when Ahab and Jezebel sat on the throne. Like our nation today. All kinds of religious stuff, bizarre, wild. It used to just be in California. But it is swept all the way through Texas, through Florida, across our land. In California, they have a cult in which they believe that Jesus was a mushroom. True. They got a good group. Jesus was a mushroom. So we have all of this. How can you tell that which is true and that which is false? And in the days of Elijah, they had the same problem. They need spiritual guides. They need truth tellers. They need discerners who could stand up and say, hey, that's not it. Hey, this is it. And they were shouting, will the real God stand up? And many of us feel the same way in this day and age. Elijah was that God. We've seen God preparing Elijah for something that was oh so important. First of all, we've already met Elijah if you were here last week. God spoke to Elijah, and evidently he was the last prophet standing. All the rest of them were gone, and he was from the backside of nowhere. Elijah the Tishbite, Tishba, nobody knows where Tishba was really. It was in Gilead, that was a wild country, the wild, wild west. And so Elijah appears on the scene and God says, go tell Ahab the king it's not going to rain until I give my word. So he went to King Ahab and said, no more rain, no more dew, bang, until God gives his word. You have led this nation to be idolatrous. And Elijah called out Deuteronomy chapter 11 on the people and on Ahab and Jezebel. Deuteronomy 11 said, simply, if you go off into pagan worship, there will be judgment and there will be no rain. And Elijah saw that passage. God said, that's it. Pronounce it upon Ahab and Jezebel, upon this land. And that's exactly what took place. And then Elijah now was a palace preacher. But God said, Elijah, go and hide. Go and hide. This is my day. I've arrived. No, go and hide at Cherith. And so he took off and went to Cherith, which is in Transjordan, the other side of Jordan, down the Dead Sea area. Went back in the thicket, the brush, and back through the rocks, and went down into a little place. And there God had a bubbling brook. And then God provided ravens to bring him bread and meat, morning and evening, little sandwiches we can imagine. Said, go and hide. Go to Cherith. You know what the word Cherith means? Do you remember the word? It means to be cut off, to be cut down, to be cut up, to be marginalized, to be put out of business. That's what happened to Elijah. Go there and hide. Go to Cherith. Be cut down. Be cut off. And then you remember what happened to him? The brook dried up, of all things. And we've all had those experiences, haven't we? That which gave us meaning and life and vitality and had so much promise in a person, in a vocation, in a family. And suddenly, the brook dries up. What in the world is God doing? Elijah being obedient to him in confronting the king, and now Elijah being obedient in concealment, and of all things, the brook dries up. And then in our scripture, if you listen carefully, God speaks to Elijah and says, go to Zarephath. What does the word Zarephath mean? It means smelter. Evidently, in Zarephath, there was a smeltering plant. They would take gold and metals, and they would put them under heat, and they would melt them down, and the dross would come out. It would be pure gold at the bottom, but the dross would come, and They would skim all that was extraneous off the top until only purity was left. And so now Elijah leaves Cherith, where he's been cut off and cut down and cut out, and he goes to Zarephath, and now he's going to be melted. Have you noticed that trouble follows trouble follows trouble? You say, well, boy, I got all that, boom, and then I'm it. Is that the way it happens to him? What in the world is God doing with Elijah? He goes to Zarephath, and not some rich merchant is going to look after him, but some widow who is poor as dirt. When he arrives at the gate, he simply asks for water. Then he says, just make me a little cake that I might eat. He had traveled from Cherith to Zarephath. If we had a map of Israel, you would see that's about 100 miles. He was a man with a price on his head. All the people were looking for Elijah, who had been blamed for the rain stopping. And there was an all points reward out for him. Dead, wanted dead or dead. And he traveled 100 miles through that territory, and he leaves Israel of all things. He goes into Gentile country. He goes to Sidon, way up on the coast, outside of Israel. And guess who was the king of Sidon? Jezebel's dad. The citadel of paganism, of godlessness, of immorality. And here's this widow's going to look at, and she's so poor, and she's making sticks to prepare the last meal for her son and her family. And Elijah must have thought, welcome to Zarephath. Boy. From a dried up brook to being melted down to being smelted. And then an amazing thing happened. The woman recognized the difference between the God of Israel and the pagan gods. See it in the scripture. She made the bread cake. And Elijah told her, every day you can prepare a meal and the oil will not run out and the flour will not run out. And that happened day after day after day for 2+ years. When she had only enough for one last meal, suddenly there was a daily miracle. Suddenly, I believe this woman began to believe in the true and living God of Israel. I can imagine Elijah teaching the scripture and them praying together. And one commentator said that as she saw they would have oil and flour to eat, they didn't have everything they wanted, but they had everything they needed. Isn't that great? We don't have all we want, but most of us have everything we need. And so you can imagine this woman is seeing a miracle every morning. But she looks at the oil we ran out yesterday. There's some more, just enough. There's some flour. We used it all. And there's some more. And day after day. So you can imagine that when Elijah would wake up and go down from, he perhaps slept on the roof. That would be the prophet's chamber. He would go down. He would hear her singing, praise God from whom all biscuits flow. Yeah. You see, God was teaching Elijah that he's going to be saved through this poor woman, and also that woman was going to be saved through him. See? Powerful stuff. Powerful man. God is teaching Elijah what? He's teaching Elijah obedience. He's teaching Elijah to live one day at a time. He's teaching Elijah to be dependent upon him. Don't tell anybody. Shh, keep it a secret. That's exactly what God wants all of us to learn. Obey. Live one day at a time. Be dependent on him. Boy, but my brook dried up. Man, now I'm being melted in this impoverished area by this widow. You see, God is able to do amazing things through those who are willing to move from being instruments That's something God uses, to becoming servants, to being just Elijah the Tishbite, to being Elijah at the end of the chapter, a man of God or a woman of God. God puts us through Cherith and Zarephath. So we'll know the real God. Elijah was able to determine that's the real God. In our society, in our world, there's so many people who claim to have visions and dreams, and God spoke and God acted and God moved. How do you determine the real God from those gods and goddesses that are not real? That was the problem in the 8th century B.C., and that's our problem today. Let me tell you three things. First of all, the real God is a God of the outsiders. So what does that mean? When Elijah showed up in Zarephath, he worked and realized that God gives grace to outsiders because there was a widow woman there. She was an economic outsider. She was poor as dirt. She was a religious outsider. She worshiped all the pagan gods. She was an outsider in every way. And here is the real God is speaking to her, who was a total outsider as far as the Jews were concerned. So when you get home, take your Bible, open up to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4 is when Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth. While he had some fame as a healer, particularly in Capernaum, and he goes back and he's asked to preach a sermon in the synagogue in Nazareth. And he stands up, and guess what scripture he reads? Ours. Our scripture. He simply reads this passage about Elijah going there to Zarephath and being received by an outsider, and he said in his homily there that there were plenty of widows in Israel that could have helped this prophet, but God sent him outside of Israel. And when he said this, he threw in the story of Naaman, and suddenly those Jews there in Nazareth realized that the real God was a God of outsiders who offered grace to outsiders. What did they do with Jesus in his first sermon? They took him to a cliff and would have pushed him over.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Jesus replied, "But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice." Luke 11:28. A doctor, a lawyer, and a pastor went moose hunting. As an unexpected moose approached, they all fired their rifles. "I got him," cried the doctor. "No, I did," said the lawyer. "Guys, I think I got him," the pastor said. The doctor assured them he'd be able to tell which one shot the moose. After a brief examination, he announced, "The pastor got him." "How do you know?" they asked. "Because the shot went right in one ear and out the other." A humorous story, but one that is all too true when it comes to our spiritual hearing. Whenever you're listening in church or reading the Bible, don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Hear God's word. Put into practice. Jesus said, if you do that, you will be blessed.
We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering is an inevitable part of life, but God never leaves you alone in your pain, and He always gives you a way to overcome it. This encouraging series takes you to the book of Job and gives you straightforward answers to the real questions about suffering that we all ask, equipping you with the proven truth you need to experience victory in the midst of your pain. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Tough Times as a thank you for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion of Dr. Young's message and find out how you can get involved in God's exciting plans.